they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about anything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, C-Bass!
Wake up!
Wake up, America!
Wake the fuck up! We'll get fucked the fuck up!
What's good with you, man? You good?
Yeah, good. You know, just kind of a chill weekend, spending a little time with the family, you know.
Same here, man. I was babysitting my nephew for my brother, you know, so they could go out for a little Valentine's thing. But yeah, that's what took me a little bit. I was putting together the clips I got, and I got some pretty good ones. I was like looking through a lot of stuff, and the only two articles I got is one about Robert Kennedy, and then I got one, you know, and then I got one on Bill Gates, but I got some clips to backed it off. So I don't know, man. Started off, man. I don't know what you've been digging up. See what you got.
I think the real kind of like big news that came across my proverbial desk this week was from the Daily Wire. I saw U.S. lawmakers are calling on the Department of Justice to open a criminal investigation into New York Democrat Governor Andrew Cuomo for allegedly committing obstruction of justice by intentionally hiding the number of coronavirus deaths that occurred in the state's nursing homes. It goes on later to say, quote, for months, family members, news outlets, and lawmakers alike have been calling on the Cuomo administration to report information regarding the number of nursing home residents who died of COVID-19, including those who died in a nursing home facility or after being transferred to another location. And it's a pretty interesting development, you know. I think it's kind of a just comeuppance, finally. There was more than just...
I heard a little bit about that.
The only governor that did that.
Yeah, but I think that it's more of like... a sacrificial lamb thing. Like, he's the one that, hey, we messed up and we gotta, you know, people have to be sacrificed. And I think he's gonna probably be one of those casualties. But it's gonna be tough because he's a very strong personality. Very similar to Trump, actually. The way that he talks to the media, the way he kind of bullies and doesn't take shit. Like, he's very similar. Well, they're both New Yorkers.
The New Yorker, New Yorker persona.
Yeah, exactly. And
I think another one that's on the chopping block is Newsom, though, with the recall effort, which is moving along nicely.
Because you know the GOP and the DNC have no problem having sacrifices, you know, having a few sacrifices here and there as long as they still keep the power. That's the main issue is, hey, are we going to keep the power? Oh, we are? Oh, okay, then we're good. And you can hear me good, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
Sounds great right now.
All right, cool. I'm going to start off with a couple clips. I'm going to go off with the, you see that I'm calling this episode back to back because that Drake, I go back to back because, you know, he went back to back acquittals, man, on both impeachments. So I'm sure all the Trump supporters are ecstatic because they're pretty happy. I mean, which they should be.
Oh, yeah.
But which they should have already known that it was going to be a sham trial. So the first clips I got like pretty much it's all breaking down. People's reaction to it, and the first one's good old Zanny Nancy, you know what I mean? She's pretty pissed.
What we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no options because they were afraid to defend their job, respect the institution in which they served. Imagine that it would be vandalized in so many bad ways that I won't even go into here, and that they would not respect their institute, that the president of the Senate, Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, was the chant, and they just dismissed that. Why? Because maybe they can't get another job. What is so important about any one of us? What is so important about the political survival of any one of us that is more important than our Constitution that we take an oath to protect and defend?
And I have the last part where she says, hey, what's going on? I have the last part where she's kind of like talking more shit, but I thought that was funny. That's why I clipped it there, where she said, how are any of us more important? That's what I've been asking, too. I'm wondering the same thing. Like, and rumor has it, and I'll show in one of the clips, it kind of does reveal that I guess they were saying, oh, okay, well, we're going to call Nancy Pelosi as a witness then. And then all of a sudden, everything just, okay, never mind, forget it, let's just throw it away. And everything changed. I thought that was very, very, very interesting. And again, they're still just attacking the American citizens, and they're attacking, you know, Trump. But, like, who cares about Trump? That's, like, really kind of small potatoes. But it's just, like, and they have the nerve to say that they have, like, they have integrity. We have integrity. Like, we're doing the – we're back in the Constitution, and we're – for this, you know, our forefathers, blah, 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 you know, the same rhetoric that we hear. And, you know, then she just goes off and calls them cowards. Look, she...
Oh, these cowardly senators who couldn't face up to what the president did and what was at stake for our country are now going to have a chance to give a little slap on the wrist. We censure people for using stationery for the wrong purpose. We don't censure people for inciting insurrection that kills people in the Capitol.
At least she said insurrection, because everybody keeps saying erection. Shit's so fucking funny, man. I'm like, damn, so many people have cock on the mind, you know what I mean?
There's a Freudian slip in there, I think with Schumer's especially.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was pretty hilarious, honestly. But going back to the overall impeachment trial, it was about as much of a reality TV kangaroo court you could ever see, from doctored evidence to taking clips out of context to not including the full timeline of, you know, Trump hadn't even finished his speech at the rally before people were already starting to breach the police lines to go into the Capitol building.
Exactly.
And they left out the key part of when he was saying, you know, we're going to go down to the Capitol building and make our voices heard peacefully and patriotically. They left out the peaceful part, of course. And I think it's just, you know, they're just trying to keep the narrative of, you know, orange man bad for the people who just buy into whatever the media says without doing their own research.
Well, especially because now that they made Trump such an enemy, a polarizing enemy, that people believe in their hearts of hearts that we could do anything else. We got to get rid of this guy. He's going to kill us all, and this is going to be Nazi Germany. They truly believe that. Like, I swear, man, I talked to them. They do.
From their rhetoric, you can tell, like, you know, they've been calling him a fascist and, you know, the orange Hitler for several years now.
Yeah. Well, and I always think it's funny because we all call everybody Hitler, you know, like Obama was Hitler, Bush was Hitler, you know, Clinton, Bush Sr., so on and so forth. But it's still, the reality is that obviously he really did piss everybody off. But again, they feel like they're above us. They're like, hey, man, this happened over here and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it's crazy because now in my other clip, it's McConnell. And I think McConnell's a coward. And I've always thought he is, and he's a piece of shit. And I think he's starting to, like, have no choice but to reveal it. He tries to hide it the best he can. But, like, I thought this was pretty – that he's disaligned with Nancy Pelosi, that they're on the same level of that elitism, that we're not on that. And how dare you, chair, to come into this house? You know what I mean? And instead of saying, like, hey, I wonder why people were protesting, rioting all summer. Hey, I wonder why people were – protesting, and they were so mad that they wanted to fucking do this and that. No, instead of asking those questions, they go, oh no, we gotta get these terrorists. That's what we gotta do. And they're basically saying that the only reason — this is my breakdown of what I think McConnell said, and you can give your input after — I feel like he's saying the only reason we didn't convict Trump is because the law is, you know what I mean? The law is a little weird kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't in the law, so there's nothing we could do. But he was guilty. And here's the clip, what he says.
January 6th was a disgrace. American citizens attacked their own government. They used terrorism to try to stop a specific piece of domestic business they did not like. Fellow Americans beat and bloodied our own police. They stormed the Senate floor They tried to hunt down the Speaker of the House. They built a gallows and chanted about murdering the Vice President. They did this because they'd been fed wild falsehoods by the most powerful man on earth. Because he was angry, he lost an election. Former President Trump's actions preceded the riot were a disgraceful, disgraceful dereliction of duty. The House accused the former president of, quote, incitement. That is a specific term from the criminal law. Let me just put that aside for a moment and reiterate something I said weeks ago. There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day.
It's kind of just like you just see it's part of the show. You know what I mean? See how he said, well, let's put that aside so law doesn't matter. So it's like I'm on trial for murder, and they're like, yeah, we can't convict you, but you did it. So like OJ, I guess. Like, I mean, you get off, you get off.
Yeah. It's wild, though. It's like that kind of rhetoric coming out of the quote-unquote leader of the GOP is pretty worrying. You know, that's just kind of along the lines of them saying, like, oh, you know, the Electoral College has served its purpose. Only 9 seats on the Supreme Court have served its purpose. We need to change the system to go against kind of the founders and the Constitution to make it suit the left agenda. And that's the worrying thing is when you have, you know, the leader of the GOP, the establishment GOP anyway, kind of going along with it, really, from what I, like, interpret from that.
Yeah, and it kind of acknowledges what we always talk about, that there's just a one-party system. Like, it really yep. acknowledges that they obviously they work together. There may be some people that are in the party that have good intentions, but as a whole, DNC, GOP, both absolutely corrupt, absolutely in bed with donors, absolutely in bed with oligarchs. And that's just not even looking at being conspiratorial. That's just fact. That's a fact. We all know that. There's been jokes since we were born about corrupt politicians and, you know, getting money in their pocket to get what you want. Now, I got a reaction from one of the, Congress staff member of some sort that helped with the impeachment of some sort. And she was on CNN. And I thought it was pretty interesting. Again, they're trying to blame it on, you know, it's that scapegoat mentality that they have. They got played because they were like, oh, we got Trump. And then they go, oh, we're going to call Nancy Pelosi as a witness. And then they backed off. And now they're saying, well, it's not because we didn't, it's not about the witnesses. It's about cowards, you know, senators being cowards.
Yeah. 57 to convict, 43 to acquit, but Donald Trump basically walked. What's your reaction?
Heartbreaking for those of us who put, and not just the impeachment managers, but for the staff, professionals just working around the clock, as well as the American people. It's frustrating, but the founders knew what they were doing, and so we live with the system that we have. But thankfully, it was bipartisan. The greatest majority voting to convict a president, as well as the American people seeing truly who Donald Trump was.
You and your fellow House impeachment managers wanted to call Republican Congresswoman Herrera Butler from Washington State as a mm-hmm. witness to describe Kevin McCarthy's call with Trump, in which the president effectively sided with the terrorists while the attack was going on. Take a listen. This is what she told a town hall.
He said, well, Kevin, these aren't my people. You know, these are Antifa. And Kevin responded and said, no, they're your people. You need to call them off. And the president's response to Kevin, to me, was chilling. He said, well, Kevin, I guess they're just more upset about the election, theft than you are.
I mean, siding with the terrorists while they were attacking the Capitol. You also wanted to subpoena her notes of that call. But ultimately, Democrats did neither of those things and accepted the public statement she'd made. Why did you back down?
I think we didn't back down. I think what we did was we got what we wanted, which was her statement, which was what she said, and had it put into the record. And being able to say it on the record out loud so that others would hear. Just so the American public is aware, witnesses in a Senate hearing do not come and stand before the senators and make any statements. It's a deposition, it's videotaped, and that is brought before the Senate. So I know that people are feeling a lot of angst and believe that maybe if we had this, the senators would have done what we wanted. But listen, we didn't need more witnesses. We needed more senators with spines.
That's pretty much...
That's interesting, for sure. Just going back to, like, the whole, you know, calling out the loyalties of all senators, saying, like, it's wild how they just get people to go along with this narrative. Like, I find it incredible that they got 7 Republican senators to turn on that vote. But going back to the witnesses thing, the reason why they turned... or changed their mind on that so quickly was, I think the intention was from Trump's defense to bring forward like Pelosi, Kamala Harris, and various other Democrat establishment congressmen and women to expose them for, you know, they were the ones questioning the election back from 2016 and coming up with this whole Russia fabrication. For years we went through that. And then not to mention all the calls for violence and, you know, all the various kind of inciting rhetoric. I mean, they were actually guilty of inciting rhetoric quite frequently through the Trump term, rather than like from what he said in his speech. I didn't see that much incitement.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty much like what you hear standard political rally. And I saw a super clip. Yeah. I didn't get it, but there was a super clip of like kind of just a bunch of like different Democratic people saying you got to fight like hell, because that was the words that supposedly incited violence. But to me, I agree with you that they know that they were in that they couldn't beat them. They couldn't. There's no way, any way, even if they didn't do that route, they still wouldn't have won. But that's what you do in a court of law. You go back. And you say, hey, in 1976, da-da-da happened, you know what I mean, because of this law and da-da-da. And then they're acting like that's not law. Like, that's not part. They're like, no, well, yeah, he got away with it. But because it wasn't, you know, a law. And you're like, what? Well, then he didn't, because they know they would have been charged exactly like him. And now I'm like, though, people are saying, does this set a precedent, you know, to get past people? And people are talking about, does that mean that they could go after former Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton?
We can only dream. You know, this is never going to get used against the Uniparty and the establishment politicians, the really high power, like top tier of the cartel, the ones with the most corruption. They're never going to face that kind of scrutiny. There's not going to be an inquisition from the establishment, you know, politicians against themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I know, and that's the thing that we have to remember, that it's gonna always be like that. Like, unfortunately, that's not much. I mean, we could vote and we could work together, that kind of stuff. But if we're like dreaming that these parties are gonna somehow change overnight, we need new parties. That's plain and simple. It doesn't matter. Like, this has showed you that whether you like Trump or not, the DNC and the GOP they need to be, they're obsolete. They're old. They're outdated. Yeah. They're the reason why we're not green right now. It's funny that they're pushing this whole Green New Deal thing, but the reason why we're still so far behind in technology, and we could have all been had solar panels and electric cars. Electric car has been, like, was invented in the 20s or 30s. These are things that have already been in the pipeline, but because of people like them, they've stopped it. And then they turn it around and blame it on us. They go, oh, well, these people, man, they just want... So we're the ones causing all the pollution, not them flying their jets all over.
Yeah, especially when they go to, like, have their rallies, kind of rally their base around these... But, you know, the left and the globalists in general have the... I don't understand how their supporters can go through that level of mental gymnastics to kind of stick along with the Orwellian doublespeak that contradicts the actual facts and current events of what's happening in our world. It's wild.
Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty much my wrap on the whole impeachment hearing. I was just kind of like, I know there was, unfortunately, there's some great clips from one of Trump's lawyers. I had it, but, you know, I was babysitting and stuff. I'm going to get a little bit more on the clips. Like I said, that's why, like, now we're kind of changing the format. I think that would change it, too. And then that way we could focus. I think I was taking more time trying to focus on the show and try to build it a certain way. But, yeah, he kind of shut them down. But I just wanted to kind of highlight the people that are crying and, you know, so upset about this that we all knew was going to happen. The outcome was going to happen. Like, I don't get it. Like, where did they think? I know they don't really think that. I know it's all show, but it's just funny because their supporters and constituents believe what they say and eat it up.
Yeah, I feel like the rhetoric and kind of the anger about it coming out of the actual media and the leftist politicians that are going after Trump, they're just trying to keep the narrative going along, I think.
Yeah.
And to keep the heat off of Biden, because there's been a lot of stuff that's been coming up about, you know, 52 executive orders now, I think. There might be more. And all these various policies he doubled backed on and kind of isn't following through for the people that voted for him. It's interesting, you know, this is a very convenient screen for the Biden administration.
Yeah, that's what it seems. It's a great cover. It's been great cover. So what else have besides the impeachment and what else have you been digging around in?
Yeah, I've kind of been avoiding that just because I feel like it's a smokescreen in general. Yeah. But
and we've touched and everybody has danced all over it. It's not like it hasn't been covered.
Yeah, it's been talked about quite a bit. One interesting story I heard from over across the pond. Okay, so from The Guardian in the UK, fury at the do not resuscitate notices given to COVID patients with learning disabilities. People with learning disabilities have been given the do not resuscitate orders during the second wave of the pandemic. In spite of widespread condemnation of the practice last year and an urgent investigation by the care watchdog, MenCap said it had received reports in January from people with learning disabilities that they had been told they would not be resuscitated if they were taken ill with COVID-19. The Care Quality Commission said in December that inappropriate do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation notices had caused potentially avoidable deaths last year. So I would recommend people go and read the full article, but basically, to break it down, they are pushing to not resuscitate people who have special needs or special, like, learning disabilities if they, you know, succumb to COVID. And that's a pretty dark story, and I hate to bring, like, down the mood a little bit like that, but it's a story it needs to be talked about for sure. And my question is how long has that been going on? And couple that with kind of the Cuomo story we went over earlier with, you know, putting COVID patients into nursing homes. There's a genuine genocide going on from the actual globalist, you know, WHO kind of New World Order.
Yeah, and I think that's what's unfolding. I read a little bit about that article myself, too, a couple other ones that. Yeah, and it goes back to what you were saying about the whole Cuomo thing, that this is a huge scandal. And I think we're going to find more and more as the years go on. It's because they're covering up at now, but eventually it's going to leak out. And some information has, and they're trying to keep a wraps on it. But you're right. It's pretty awful that they would even consider, like, this as that as an option, you know what I mean? To, like, just like, oh, no, it's not our fault. And then you saw Cuomo straight up when all this was happening that he said, well, don't blame me. Blame the federal government. But you're in charge of that state. You chose to run for governor.
Yeah. And it's wild because all these, like, Democrats and globalist shills that are going along with all this, you know, they blame, like, people who are going against the narrative of just being far-right Nazis and nationalists and all that. And
they are the actual Nazis who are the eugenicists. Just look at their actions. It's incredible Orwellian doublespeak, and it takes a little bit of, you know, you have to be really on top of your awareness of the propaganda.
Yeah, for sure. That's 100%. You got to be aware of what's going on. It looks like now your feed is a little on my scent. You're good, but you're breaking up. Like, you're not clear anymore as far as your picture and your voice is a little bit. I don't know if your internet, like, or something clicked off.
Interesting, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, my internet.
Yeah, no, I had a feeling. Now you're cleared back up. I mean, who knows? I mean, I'm just speculating because obviously, like, they took our song off Deep State. That's pretty crazy. Like, to me, that's true censorship. Like, they're saying that it's harassment, but I'm like, okay, and I get it because I'm saying specific names, but I'm like, are you going to take down all the Eminem songs then? Like, he talks mad shit on people and says all kinds of crazy shit. He talked about killing his fucking baby mama that he actually, knows. Like, I don't know Hillary Clinton. I don't know Bill Gates. You know what I mean? Like, for me to actually have to, and I don't even threaten them. The only one that I did threaten was the Podesta. I said, like, blast the pedal like Podesta. But other than that, like, I'm like, so we can't watch movies? Like, is it entertainment? Like, what is it then? Like, are you saying that every song is factual? Like, I don't get it. That's what's so weird to me is, like, I understand that, like, okay, you're messing with us because we're trying to think we're some kind of news thing. Okay, whatever. Like, you know what I mean? You can fuck with us on that level. But then it's, like, on entertainment? Like, so if I make a movie, like, I can't say anything? And what about all the people? And same thing with this whole, what's it called, election thing. Like, at one point, yeah, people still think that that JFK was assassinated. Like, are those people, like, those people don't believe that, you know, so that's what, I just don't get it, like, how they're making such a fuss into it. It's kind of crazy to me. I think, hopefully this is the right clip. I'm going to try to run into this clip. I don't know if you probably don't watch it because I don't either, but someone sent it to me. SNL, again, they keep talking about QAnon. They will not shut the fuck up about QAnon. That's all they keep making fun of it. And this one was very weird to me. So, like, I'm going to set it up. And basically they're saying, okay, like, it's this chick. She's from Ohio, but she's dressed like a witch. And she's like, yeah, well, you're just a normal person. So that, like, that's the whole thing. So keep that in mind that she's dressed like a witch. And that's the joke. That's their joke for this. It's pretty telling, too, that they think it's funny that because they're desensitizing people that, like, this, whether you believe QAnon or not, it doesn't matter because there is child trafficking rings. It's a real thing. It's not a fake thing.
100%.
And I think they're desensitizing people to it the way they're
explain it as a member of QAnon. Of please welcome Stephanie Green.
Very good to be here together.
Yes, well, thank you for being here, Stephanie. You said you're a single gal from Ohio?
Yes, that's right. Normal gal. I work in an office for business. Coffee, pencils, the whole nine, yes.
Uh-huh. And you're a member of QAnon?
Oh, big time, yes. Q all the way.
And what is QAnon all about?
Okay, oh, listen, have you heard this? Yes. QAnon says there is an underground ring of very bad people. They gather to undermine Trump and to steal elections and to eat children. I hear that and I'm like, whoa, where?
Yeah, well, it's a very disturbing theory. So what do you do with QAnon?
Yes, we try to get to the bottom of things. This underground cabal, what's the deal? Who is part of it? How do you get an invite? Is it reservations or is it open table? Are there enough children to go around? Do you eat them on site or do you take them home? Are there dipping sauces? There's so much to uncover.
Right. Yeah. It sounds like you're pretty focused on the eating children part of QAnon.
Yes. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. I gotta get down there to stop them. I will grab those children right out of their mouths and take them to my house. My house is made of candy. It's in the woods. And then I'll eat them. I mean, I kill them. How am I doing?
Not great. No.
Unbelievable. Like, it's wild. Like, the level of... It's almost like they're trying to
you know, dial up the psychological warfare to 11 and kind of play mind games with people who are very kind of, you know, you and I, we, like we were saying before the clip, we are both well aware that there are international child trafficking rings, and sex trafficking and child trafficking, human trafficking in general is quite a, at a massive scale in our current timeline. And it's what, like, it's, I just can't really comprehend, like, the level of depravity these people need to have to actually, like, kind of make fun of that as a whole. Imagine if you're a kid who got out of child trafficking and you see that. If you were rescued from, you know, some situation where you were trafficked and you saw that and they're making fun of the whole situation.
Or if you're in...
Yeah.
Yeah, or if you're in that situation because there's trafficking where they're still Absolutely. Going to school and stuff like that, you're definitely not going to speak out because you're like, people are just going to make fun of it. I'm not going to even say it. Maybe this is normal. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're normalizing it. Intentionally or unintentionally, I'm not saying they're doing it. I don't know. I know they're trying to just think they're, you know, we're getting the right. Yeah, we got them. Like, I just think it's crazy. And you know what is the funniest part is this one, a couple people I saw super offended. You know what they were offended about? They were like, I'm just tired of people. You know, I'm a Wiccan and you're putting this girl as a witch. I'm like, what? That is what you got out of this, man? But fuck the children part, right? That's cool. Like, she's talking about eating children. Like, obviously, like, she's trying to make it sound crazier, but really what they're talking about and what this whole thing with a lot of the people I talked about, Q, I mean, I know there's people that believe in the adrenochrome, which could be possible. I've seen stuff on it. I don't really know particularly what it actually is, like, how much is it a real compound, like, or not. But most of them know and pushed about the whole sex trafficking thing, and the rings that have been dissembled in the last few years have been pretty significant. And they, even that one where the FBI agent recently, the two of them got killed, that was, and they didn't say it in the news, like they wouldn't say it, but some of the news places.
Yeah.
And Fox, I think Fox said it, but like all the lefts, they were just saying, oh, two FBI, they weren't saying about the, yeah. What it, they were there for. It was a, I think it was a porn, like a.
It was a production operation.
I'm not quite.
So pretty much the darkest. That's what it was, yep. Rungs of that sort of depravity you could run into, really.
Yeah, and they're just constantly, like, attacking, like, people like me and you. I feel that if we, because we speak out against different shit, like, we're not thinking the same as everybody else. Like, we're calling people out, and I know that they don't like it. And we're small time on that compared to, like, other people. At least there is some people that are big speaking out. And I do got a clip later. I want you to jump a couple stories, but I got a clip about that later. Someone big that kind of spoke out. That was pretty good to me. One of my mentors, because obviously I don't know the motherfucker, but one of the people I look up to and respect right. And kind of model myself after.
Another interesting story that I came across this week was coming from the Gateway Pundit, the Biden National Security Council is planning on having having National Guard troops continue to occupy the nation's capital through the end of the year, according to a report by WTTG, TV Fox 5 in Washington. Additionally, active duty and reserve troops are being considered for rotations and deployments. So, interesting kind of development. For me, I think it's an omen of darker times to come, potentially. What kind of administration needs to do 50-plus executive orders, and then, you know, they're pushing all sorts of unconstitutional laws, like the gun bill that Biden's been talking about having Congress kind of go for. And I think they're just going to really push the envelope and go after our civil liberties like never before. I think they feel very confident in their position.
That's interesting said about the whole new gun law they're talking about. I was looking into that too, and it's talking about that gun manufacturers would be liable for the violence. But then I'm like, yeah, vaccine manufacturers are not liable for the deaths. So you're saying that someone shoots somebody, that is the gun manufacturer's fault. But if a vaccine kills you, that's not the vaccine manufacturer's fault.
It's interesting hypocrisy right there. you know, they're just going to go after any civil liberties that they feel like are a threat to the establishment. And they've done it successfully with the First Amendment, and now they're coming after the Second Amendment.
Yeah, they have. And that's what somebody else I was hearing, I forgot what podcast, but I was hearing a lot of people break it down. And that was one of the breakdowns they were saying. I think it was that Robert Barnes. He's on InfoWars sometimes. He's a lawyer. He's the lawyer for the Covington kid. He was one of the lawyers on the Covington kid's case. And he was talking about that they're trying to play these games to see what they could get away with so they can they're trying to wipe their ass with the Constitution and make a joke out of it that it doesn't mean anything. That they're finding loopholes where they could try to do this and that, you know what I mean? And they're just playing games where they can
and
get told.
And if you look at the legislation for the gun bill, it's a lot of it, for one, is the psychological background checks for any person trying to buy a gun. Well, you know, they're very slippery with their language there on the left. Being of questionable mind is going to be defined by them. And so they're going to go after people that are probably not leftists or outside of that thought bubble. And on top
of, for sure. Oh,
yeah.
Or if you say anything,
you posted
like a
spicy meme back in 2015, probably not going to be able to buy a gun if they go through with this. It's wild.
And then the argument is, well, we don't need guns. And I'm like, okay. People are like, well, who are we fighting against? I'm like, do you understand that people in power can only do so much when they know that there's a possibility that the citizens can rise up? The reason why they're doing this whole impeachment thing, the reason they're making a whole show out of all this is because they're trying to show us, hey, get in line. Get the fuck in line. Remember who you are. Remember who's the boss. We'll fucking do this. We'll do that. We can make your life miserable. Do you want your... And they have the support of people who go, yeah, they have the best interest. They have our best interest at mind. And you, no matter, there's those diehards no matter what. You can bring up any information you want. And to me, I was thinking this this weekend. I was like, isn't it kind of interesting? I always was like on the terms of where back in the days where I was like, you know, I got to get these Republicans and these conservatives to start thinking on my side, because most of the at that time, a lot of the liberals were kind of like siding with us, like, yeah, you're right, the government fucking sucks, yeah, da, da, da. And now it's totally flipped to 180, and it's the conservatives are more like on like, yeah, man, this conspiracy truther politicians are corrupt level, and the Dems are on the other side of it. They're on the GOP side, the law and order side. It's just so weird how it keeps flip-flopping, though. It's not like every 4 years or every 8 years. Now it's been like every so often, man, on every different depending on the subject and
absolutely.
Depending on
who's you know
involved.
There's been a massive shift in the, as they say, the Overton window. The left has become so radical and kind of dragging the furthest, most extreme thoughts on various issues, that it forces everyone kind of into that further leftist, more radical sphere of things and thinking, which kind of transitions nicely into the next article I have from Zero Hedge, one of our personal favorites here on Kill the Mockingbird Productions. The Biden Justice Department on Friday formally appealed to the British judge's rejection of the U.S. request to extradite Julian Assange, confirming the new administration's intent to run with its predecessor's espionage charges against the WikiLeaks publisher, despite warnings that the case endangers press freedoms around the world. Yes, we filed an appeal, and we are continuing to pursue extradition, Mark Raimondi, a Justice Department spokesperson, told AFP on Friday. The deadline for the U.S. appeal, Judge Vanessa Beratzer's ruling from last month. So it's just a pretty disturbing development, you know, more bad news, unfortunately, but opportunity missed, honestly, for Trump to pardon him. And that's going to – that should really ring true in a lot of the truther community's mind, that he had plenty of chance to do it and he didn't.
And, you know, I know they're going to argue, his supporters will argue that, well, he's trying for, you know, he has 2024. But to me, it shouldn't matter. Doing the right thing should always be, that's the point of running, in my opinion, being a public servant. You're not being a public servant to be like, I want to stay in this forever. You should be there. Hey, I'm here to fix. You know who's a good example of this? Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura is a perfect example. He said, hey, they need some help in my hometown, my home state. He went in, did his thing, fixed the best he could, made some waves, got out. That's what it should be. But these people want to make it a career, and that's crazy. I'm not saying Trump. Obviously, Trump's not trying to make a career out of it. But I think that he's being advised by the wrong people.
You know, Kushner told him not to do it.
Oh, not just him, but even like campaign manager. I thought they did horrible on the campaign because he should have focused. He tried to run Donald Trump as a politician. That was horrible. That was a stupid mistake. You should have ran him on the same platform that he did on 2016 about draining the swamp, about pointing out corruption. Because if you noticed, after the election, he was talking about the bill and pointing out all that. If he did that the whole time, I guarantee you nothing they would have did would have prevented him from becoming president, because people would have been like, you know what? I don't care anymore. At least they would have been at that point. But he didn't, and I thought that was a bad approach. That's why I think they lost the election, fraud or not, whatever. I think that was the key that no one's focusing on, is that was a stupid move, that he was trying to out-politic a career politician. That's not his game. His game was, hey, fuck you. I'm an outsider. I don't give a shit. And when they try to make him a politician, I think it turns some people off, like people like me maybe, or, you know, people, not necessarily me, but I mean people that are in the category.
Yeah. I think you have a good point there. As well as, like, there were some other things I think people could take issue with. He wasn't very strong on protection of the Second Amendment, as we saw with the bump stock ban. So there's other policy issues, too. You know, the criticism from Trump that he gets on certain points is valid, but that's never what the mainstream media focuses on, unfortunately. It's always kind of hyperbolic political rhetoric.
And that's what makes it hard, because no one's really getting a clear. You're like, they're more pushing the whole he's a racist thing. And I'm like, well, even when he was running, I was like, they go, what? People ask me why I don't want to vote for him. It had nothing to do with if I think he's a racist. More to me, I don't know the guy, but I look at it as like, well, he's a businessman. Like, his friends aren't working in a warehouse like me. Like, what does he know about the common man? And what I know a lot about Trump is that he screwed a lot of people over on money. You know, he didn't pay people. And over the years of, like, you know, having contractors and stuff like that, I've watched countless documentaries, and I'm talking about before, like, you know, he was even thinking about running, or at least publicly. And obviously some of the documentaries are biased, but just seeing how he was and he carried himself, I just never particularly liked the way he was. And I felt like he's an elitist asshole. And I think that Jimmy Dore says this all the time. He said this for the whole 4 years, and I think it's true that the reason they hate him is because they are him. They hate Trump because they are him.
But he was pretty, like, he would kind of in clever ways kind of drop these little subtle red pills, exposing them for that exact point you're bringing up. Is like, you know, he was willing to say, oh, like, we just made a massive arms deal with Saudi. It's going to be so great to Saudi Arabia. They're going to buy all our produced, you know, various military industrial complex goods. And he was just kind of highlighting stuff that probably the establishment politicians wouldn't have talked about. And maybe in kind of a roundabout way, also with Syria. He's like, oh, we do have troops on the ground in Syria, but don't worry. They're there protecting the oil fields. And it just kind of was a nice way of him kind of not saying he was like powerless against the system, but also kind of signaling like that he was.
Yeah, and that was the hard part that we discussed, even like through up to the election, where it was like, well, it's hard to tell, because one moment you're like, yeah, nope, this guy, look, he did this wrong, you know, and you look about the people he's connected with, the Kissingers, he has some Rothschild connections, he has some other, you know, obviously the Clintons. We don't know their connection. I mean, they have pictures together. They've obviously went to each other's weddings, stuff like that, but doesn't mean they're still friends. And then he would drop some stuff like you're saying, and you're like, oh, I don't know, man. So it was so split. But the thing that sold it for me is, like, that not that I wouldn't vote for him in 2024 because he had an opportunity when everything was on the table. And I know that his team told him not to do it. But like you said, man, Julian Assange, man. I'm glad that you brought that article up because Julian Assange is not talked about enough. That what's going to be in jail for journalism, yeah. That's crazy. This whole fake Russia hoax was a hoax. And he's paying the price for that.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, he wasn't the one that actually leaked the information. He's just the publisher. And that's why it's a threat to actual journalism and the truther community in general.
And that's why, like, because you saw me, like, during the election, you saw me more kind of leaning, like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Because, like, I just don't like either party because they're obviously one and the same. Obviously one and the same. No difference. And people were trying to push me like, oh, man, you know, you don't want the Democrats in power. And then I just stuck to my guns because I'm like, I'm not going to vote for either party. But then I'll go, okay, well, he has a chance to show that maybe he's not like them and that he's not controlled and this and that. But what happens? He doesn't do it. He had Snowden and Julian that he could have pardoned, that he could have put out there, and he should have. And we already knew because Biden called him a terrorist back. He called him a digital terrorist a long time ago. We knew that he's going to go after him there because he can expose everybody. All that's war crimes for him, Obama, Bush, Cheney.
I mean, all those things he exposed was major leading factors for people that were not willing to vote for Clinton. Especially like the Benghazi stuff the way we conducted ourselves in Iraq and various other countries that we were occupying for the last few decades, it seems now. It's wild. I got a couple more stories, but I think we were about on that hour mark.
It's up to you, man. I got a couple. Let me run a couple clips real quick. I'm going to run a short clip on some coronavirus that I don't know if people know about, like, now they're talking about that domestically we're probably going to have proof to fly to have a negative COVID test.
And the Biden administration is considering a rule that would require a negative COVID test for domestic air travel. Opponents argue people could still take trains, buses, or cars between states.
They always try to come up with something that, like, oh, well, people got other options. I think that's going to be crazy. And then I wanted to go off this. This is one that really got good for me. I'm a huge Dave Chappelle fan, man. Always been a Dave Chappelle fan. I think that he calls it a way. He talks about life like a way that's, like, just so perfect, like, for me. Like, it puts it where you're like, oh, I understand that. Like, I get what he's saying. And he kind of went off a little bit because people were criticizing him for moving to Texas, he didn't move to Texas, but he's staying in Texas for right now because they're allowing him to do shows. He's a comedian. That's what he does. And he goes, I can't wait till 2022. So here's a little clip of him. I don't know if you saw it. If anybody hasn't seen it yet, go to his page. I think it's called God Forgive Me. I'm not sure. But he has a little 10-minute segment of it, and it's really good. Also, it was good at the end. I didn't clip this part, but one of his previous stand-up things that he put out, he had asked us. And I like it because he acknowledges that the power is with us, the people. And he goes, I came out here and I asked my bosses. My boss is you guys. And he goes, can you guys not watch Dave Chappelle, the Chappelle show? Because, you know, they're screwing him over. And people go, well, he signed a contract. But he was a young kid, signed a contract. He created everything. It's not like he was just some actor. They created that show. And he couldn't even use the name The Chappelle Show. Well, that's another good point to show that the power of people. People will go, okay, Chappelle, we love you, man. We ain't watching it. I didn't watch it one bit. And guess what? They came forward and they broke him off his money. And now he has the name to his show. Because he went to the real power. You can go to this, you can say what you want about these so-called leaders and all that. But we are the real power, the people. And he kind of goes off about the coronavirus because he got the coronavirus. And, you know, because he was doing shows still, people obviously went after him on the
left. Now, you guys might have seen in the news that I caught coronavirus recently. And I did. Whoops. I did. Because in the beginning of the pandemic, I talked to a guy in the live entertainment business, and I said, when can we go back to work? He said, probably sometime in 2022. And I said, there's no fucking way I can wait that long. And I just tried to find a way that I could work. You see what we've been doing. All of you who had to endure this invasive test and wear these masks just so we could be out and hang out and be together. I tried. And after all these months, after doing all these shows, God damn it, my number was up, and then I had the Rona. Oh. Cowards rejoice at a time like this because they're so invested in being afraid. And when I said I had the coronavirus, the overwhelming majority of people wished me well. Said, we hope you get better. Take care of yourself. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. But there was a faction of people, the cowards, who said, you see that, Dave Chappelle? That's why we stay inside where it's safe, and we never try anything. Well, enjoy yourselves, motherfuckers, because I'm better now.
Wow, that's good, man. I haven't heard that. I'll have to look into it.
I'll send you the link. I got the link. I'll send it right to you. Actually, the homie right there showed me it. He sent me it. Woke and Baked, the podcast. Shouts out to them, man. They got a little nice podcast. Nice. I hopped on that the other weekend.
I'll have to check them out. It's funny that you brought up Chappelle. I was actually just watching some of his original episodes from, like, way back in the day. And, man, how could anyone get away with that level of humor in this day and age now with cancel culture? Like, it wouldn't be possible.
Oh, my God.
I was watching, like, one of the first episodes where he had, like, he was depicted as himself as, like, yeah, Clayton Bigsby. Man, that was wild, dude. And yeah, that could never fly these days. But I think that's kind of set, like, humor. We actually need to kind of de-escalate some of the tension we have in society now. But unfortunately, it's not appropriate.
But what's been beautiful is that, like, Chappelle, during, like, his new reemergence, you know, after he took some time off and kind of got, you know, everybody tried to make him seem like he was crazy. I don't know why, but he's like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I didn't like the fame, whatever. Who cares if someone doesn't want to do it? But he came back, and he's so one of a kind, and not just, he's hilarious, but now he's like, now that he's older, he's just like, he's not only just funny, but I can just listen to him, and I'm like, man, he's so right, man, like, just hearing him, whether he's breaking down, like, the racial divides. Like, I think, like I wish more politicians thought like him, where he can, like, break it down into a format where he sees it logically, where he's like, well, yeah, this is fucked up, and this is, like, he sees it and breaks it down. And I liked how he called people cowards. I was like, you know, hey, you're going to stay inside. He's like, I get it. We're all going through it, but I'm trying to better myself and better my life and continue what I love to do. This is what I love to do. That the only reason he does is because he loves it. He could do movies if he wanted to, like any other, you know, people. I'm sure he gets offers. He's doing what Absolutely. He loves.
Yeah.
And people want to shit on that.
It's sad. It's, you know, the fear propaganda has gone to a lot of people's heads, and they go along with it, and they say, oh, you're killing grandma if you just going out and practicing your craft, basically. It's the death of the individual. It's basically communism in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's putting a stop to, and then especially when he's doing, to me, in my opinion, such a service, because I believe if there was more stand-up right now, there would be less violence, because people need outlets, whether it's comedy or going to the club or a concert. That's what people need.
Well, look how much Tim Dillon has blown up, because he's been still, you know, practicing his art.
Yeah, and it's, well, his comedy style is, like, exactly perfect for his podcasting. It's, like, the same, like, that ranting, fucking talking shit, man. Like, yeah, and he blew up, man, and good for him, man. Shots out. And you know who, too? Also, Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz got a lot from all this. But there's so many people like that, like we talked about when the Pete Davidson thing happened, where those comics that have the money are being like, oh, clubs shouldn't open and they shouldn't do this. But a lot of these, they're not looking out for the other comics that make their money from the road, like a living.
Yeah.
Or they make $30,000, $40,000 on the road, or even more sometimes, $100,000, depending on like their level. And yeah, luckily they have podcasting, a lot of them, but there's a lot that don't, or that they have the podcasting, but it hasn't picked up traction yet because they're still trying to develop their craft and all that. And they're getting crushed, like, because the comedy clubs are all small businesses. There's not like I don't think there's any chains. The only chain is still, small business, and there's only like four or five, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're all localized.
Exactly.
And kind of individual businesses, but it's very true that there's a massive ripple effect from, you know, banning these types of live shows. It has a massive impact on local economies that would, you know, get a lot of traffic from people coming into town as tourists to see these shows.
Well, to me, also increase civil violence because, like I said, people aren't having releases. Whether it's your release for being on stage, whether you're a musician, a comic, an actor, whether it's your release from just being like an average Joe that works whatever kind of job and you want to go to the bar, you want to go to the club, you want to go to a concert, you want to go unwind and get away from this same pattern of where you wake up, go to work, go home, wake up, go to work, go to home, wake up, go to work, go to home. You know what I mean? Like, I think that pattern, for me personally, I would say, yeah, that pattern sucked this whole year. Like, the last past year, I don't think I only went out like 10 times. Like, and that's including before coronavirus, probably only 2 times versus coronavirus. And not because I'm scared or anything like that. It's just that I don't want to deal with stupid rules. I'm going to have to because I'm flying out to Cali, SoCal, in March. I'm going to do some music videos and stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck, man, I'm going to have to wear that mask for 4 hours on that flight, man. Like, I already know there's no getting around it, man. I already looked everything. There's no.
You can road trip it, dude.
I know. Yeah, but
It'll take like 2 days, yeah, but you can do it.
Nah, but then work, you know what I mean? The only reason is because of work, you know, because I have to be back to
take more.
Yeah, then I have to take more time off. And that's the only reason, like, man, that's why the goal is, man, 5 years from now, like, I hope to be just doing all kinds of different podcasts and music, and then I can travel wherever I want. I don't have to be at anybody's will, but at this moment, I'm still at their will, and it was a cheap flight, so I took it, but I'm going to have to do the stupid mask thing, right. So we'll see how that works out. Hopefully, I'm not on the no-fly list.
Well, it's a good way to find out if I'm on it.
Yeah.
Just let me know how your check goes.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's going to be – we'll see how it goes, man. But I think it'll be all right. I mean, I'm going to manage it. I'm pretty good at being charming. Like I always tell people, I understand there's a lot of people that want to, like, argue about the whole mass thing. I'm just not going to argue with somebody that I know. I'm not going to change their mind. There's no point. You know what I mean? I can bring up whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing I say is going to change their mind. But I don't know if
it's funny you.
I was gonna say if you want to add
just real quick. I got one more article talking about flights and masks.
Perfect.
There's a two airlines that are basically saying that they are not gonna require masks for passengers in business and first class. It's Cathay Pacific and Qatar Airways. Interesting policy, you know.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Yes. All right, I'll just go direct text. Cathay Pacific just joined Qatar Airways in a rare category, at least for now. The two airlines both allow passengers in their flatbed business or first class seats to lay down for a good night's sleep without a mask on. Yes, whereas everyone else on the plane must keep their mask on for the duration of the flight, passengers up front have been granted a golden new loophole. And one with plenty of controversy.
So it is the whole elitist attitude that we're always talking about. It's that I'm above you. I don't have to have the same rules.
It's just an interesting segue with the.
Now that would piss me off.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we don't see that in, you know, more domestic airlines. But chances are they probably let people in those classes actually slide with, you know, not wearing.
I fly Spirit. There is no first class.
There you go.
I fly with the other peasants. All of us peasants fly together and go into the gulag. We're just in one big tube that's going to drop us off at the FEMA camp, man.
Well, hopefully not, but hey, another great show. Really appreciate always kind of collabing on these. It's a lot of fun kind of building up this community.
Yeah, and little by little.
Getting through the madness of current events, you know, of what we're going
and
through.
And we and a knock on wood, but we've made it through a few purges.
Yeah, you have too. Yeah. Right? Getting up to 10K. Yeah. Congrats on that again.
Yeah, and then I'm just trying to like find out ways to we might find other ways. Like I think maybe next week I'm gonna try to do it on the live on the other page. See if that has any and see if that has any difference. You know, and we'll just keep testing stuff out. Either way, like, we always have our stuff on Apple and Spotify. You can check us out. Also, if you want to help support the show, you can go to SeanChris.Bandcamp.com, and you can check out some of the songs I have up there. And we've got some merch underway. It's still building the website. Takes a little bit of time. But that's the eventual goal, that we'll be live streaming either audio or video. Preferably video, but for sure audio on our own platform. So we can get our message out without anybody censoring us, because that seems to be what's happening. And, you know, this Kill the Mockingbird. I'm Sean Chris. This is Sebastian Farr, a.k.a. Seabass, you know. We appreciate everybody tuning in, and go check us out on Spotify and Apple. And you know how we do it. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. And we're going to end out on this note right here with Ricky Diaz. Yeah, he made this post on Instagram. You showed me this, and this was pretty funny. This is his stand song to Biden. All right, y'all. Wake the fuck up, get woke the fuck up.
Joe, we voted, but you still ain't calling. We burnt Kenosha and AutoZone at a precinct out in Portland, and found 200,000 votes in autumn at 4 in the morning. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes we use dead people's addresses when we're voting. But anyways, fuck it, what's the nut, man? How's Kamala? I'm a trans woman in California, so I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'ma name her Hunter. I read about your buddy Jeffrey too, I'm sorry. I had a friend kill himself over some bitch named Hillary Rodham. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. We even switched the balance for you in that Wisconsin scam. And we use ActBlue to launder all your illegal Chinese cash. I like that 94 Crimes Act too, that shit was fat. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan, BLM.